Good morning. First thing I want to say, it doesn't matter how long I talk. If I quit in 5 minutes, we're not going to eat till 12. Everybody got it? So you might as well just be cool. We're going to eat at 12. What's that?
Thanks.
All right, no problem. Hey, we wanted to have a teaching, and we feel it's important to have a teaching when we get together. It doesn't have to be a full teaching, but we wanted to spread a little bit of the word this morning. And I want to be on a topic that's going to be good for you, that's going to serve you well. So I want to kind of do just a very quick review of last week. And I'm paraphrasing last week. Some of you know I had my granddaughter with me, and Julie was upstairs. And anytime I have my granddaughter with me, I'm always in prayer that she doesn't poop or anything. So anyway, I was kind of corralling her back there. And I didn't get all of it, but it was really great. Quinn taught last week, and I was a little distracted. I think we decided it's okay to be jealous of Jake's beard. Again, I was a little distracted. It might be an oversimplification, but that's kind of what we talked about last week. Today, we're going to start a month of Thanksgiving, and we're going to have something designed every Sunday this month that has to do with Thanksgiving. And it's Thanksgiving of what you've got, not what you're planning on getting. To be thankful for what you have. To be thankful for the good year you had in 2011. Or perhaps that God brought you through a tough 2011. But either way, we're not thankful for what we're about to get. But we're going to be thankful for what we already got. Amen? And we want to carry that through to Christmas. So that Christmas just doesn't become another time of what am I going to get? What are you going to get me? What am I going to get you? We want to be thankful for what we have now. We want to be content and satisfied. We want to get to the point that when, by the time we get to Christmas, we want this year to be about not so much the getting, but the giving. Does that make sense to you? We want to focus at TLR on the giving aspect, not the getting. This year, I want to give you permission. First of all, I want to give you permission to live within your means this Christmas. Come on now. Some of you have it in the past. It's all quiet like y'all ran out to get food, but you're here. We want to give you permission to live within your means. We want to give you permission, if need be, to be poor and not to get everybody a gift. If you can afford to get everybody a gift, I'll tell you what I want. Because I don't need a thing. There's some stuff I want. And we want you to know the difference between those two things. Permission to be poor at Christmas. Have you ever thought that except for the wise men, every character in God's story about Christmas morning were basically poor? Zachariah, Elizabeth were poor, Mary and Joseph, the shepherds. The only real splendor in that whole story is that God gave his only begotten son. And that's what we want Christmas to be about this year. We've taken a narrative about poor people and we've made it the biggest consumer event in the entire year. Have you ever thought about that? We took a story about a poor girl, pregnant, unmarried, and made that the biggest consumer event of the year. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, well, if I don't get something for my brother's kid, my sister-in-law, whew, she'll be all over me. Why are you living for your sister-in-law anyway? Right? Why are you doing that? We're Christians on some level. Aren't we supposed to be living for Jesus? Why are you living for somebody else's expectation of what you're going to get them for Christmas? Some of us, unfortunately, we're living for people that wouldn't pee on us if we were on fire. Instead of living for the person that came to this earth and lived for us and died for us. Man, that's a sorry state of affairs. If you're not going to bow your knees to Jesus, don't bow them to anybody else, friend. So what we want to talk about today, first of all, and we may not get a whole real far in this, we want to talk about the next level. We teach not only because we love to hear our own voices, which we do, right, Quinn? Right, Brandon? We love to hear our own voices. But we also attempt to push you to the next level. Movement, that moving toward everything God wants us to be. So we talk about moving you up a new level in your faith walk. We want you to see a new level in your obedience to God. We want you to see a new level of thanksgiving. We especially want you to see a new level of contentment, even a new level of giving. I got a call this week from Eric Steele. You guys know Steele? So Steele gives me a call, and for those of you who don't know Eric, he is a family friend. He's our conciliaria to the family, and he's also the godfather of my granddaughter, Jocelyn. So Steele calls me, and he wants me to be a part of his ordination at his church. I don't know if you guys knew that or not. He was in the Air Force. He wants to fly. If I can't fly, I'm going to be a chaplain. Many of us said, God has a different calling for you. And he's starting to realize that and live that that out through his ordination. So he said, I get a three-member task force of pastors to hold me accountable through all this, to question me, that I'll ultimately have a say in my ordination. Now Eric goes to a big urban church in Indy. My first thought was to kind of channel Jack Nicholas from Batman, wait till they get a load of me. They are everything that I'm not and more. But he wanted me to be a part of that. And then after we discussed it and I agreed to it, he started telling me about, you know, just as soon as I decided I was going to go ahead with this ordination, he said, it seems like the devil attacked me. He said, do you ever get that? Well, you know, I was still kind of heady from being asked to be a part of his ordination, so I gave him a theological answer. And an hour later, we hung up, and I wasn't satisfied at all with the answer. The next morning, Julie already up. She goes down to work early so she can work out. She sends me a text. She's working out. She's down there on the treadmill or whatever, watching Joyce Meyer. And she sends me this little text from Joyce. It says this, new level, new level, new devil. No explanation, but there was none needed. Whatever level you attain to, when you get there, there's going to be a new devil. Quinn's almost transfixed by that. See, there's a devil over here, then an angel, then a devil, then an angel. Whatever level you go to, there's always going to be a new devil. You're going to get your comfortable right where you're at. We're all comfortable today, aren't we? We're comfortable where we're at. Comfortable being the same old that God saved, right? Hallelujah, God saved me. I haven't moved an inch since, but God saved me. Hallelujah. Comfortable right where we're at. Comfortable doing or not doing the same old thing. Comfortable when you're preached, teached, encouraged, pushed to that new level. That new devil stomps his foot and says, boo, and you run right back to your old place, right? Isn't that what we do? Oh, you can't do that. My sister-in-law will get mad if I don't get a gift from my... See what I'm saying? We just run right back to where we were. New level. There's a new devil. New level always brings us a new devil. There's going to be new temptations when you get to a new level. There's going to be what about this, what about that, what about seven other things. But I want you to know, if you get to this new level of celebrating what you have, if you get to this new level of Christmas, you're going to take a Christmas full of life-absorbing to-do list, who to buy for, how many of you worry about what to get your spouse? Liars. You men, you know you do. You can take that life-absorbing list and just wad it up and throw it away, because this Christmas might be your most life-altering Christmas that you've ever had. When Jesus came to us, he came to us in simplicity, to a humble couple that had very little money. So the true meaning of Christmas has never been about stuff. So why do we make it about stuff? It's always been about him. Always been about Jesus. If you watch the news, people we're at a season of the time that people are thinking about what they are going to buy. And when 1,000 consumers were asked, given the current state of the economy, how will your shopping and buying behaviors change this holiday season? Here are the responses, 62%, they will spend less money on the holidays. I hope you're kind of in that 62%. If you can afford it, by all means, go ahead and buy stuff. But I want to give you permission to be part of that 62% that cuts back this year. Amen? You don't have to spend above your means. Savers, slowing economy. This is a companion article to this. Savers, can you imagine this? Savers, slowing economy. Consumer spending accounts for 70% of our economy, and you all ain't doing your part. You know, I have friends whose parents beat them, that they were just raging alcoholics. The parents made every mistake that you could make, but they'd always tell them, save your money. Don't buy all, save some money. Well, now we find out that We're not supposed to be saving our money. You're supposed to be out there spending so that our economy will improve. And I read this from a pastor's writing comments on this. He said, how strange and sad it is that debt and consumerism reach their pinnacle on the morning we celebrate the birth of Jesus, the Savior who came to liberate us from such things. It's a simple message this morning. I kind of want to liberate you guys from thinking you have to be caught up in that buying. I want to liberate some of you young married couples for thinking you've got to keep up with your older brother and his wife's buying. Does that make sense to you? I want to liberate you from those things. That's what Jesus came to liberate us from. Commercials will kill you, though. There, I saw a commercial just this week for the ultimate gift. I'm looking around. I doubt if any of you have it. That's why you're so sad faced this morning. You don't have the ultimate gift. The gift that will thrill everyone, it says. And also there was one that said it will bring joy to your wallet. That's almost disgusting. Joy to your wallet. Here's the deal. At the very heart of consumerism is this. And this is from the Advent Conspiracy book. We're constantly searching for the one thing that will satisfy us. How many of you would like to have that one thing else satisfy you? Yet each time we trust the promises of our possessions, more barriers are raised between our true selves and God's plain command to love Him above all things. Now everybody read this together with me, what's underlined. Let's read. It's not that we necessarily want more, it's that we want something we can't buy. Tell me you're saying that's true. Some of you want to think about it a minute. You think, I'll drink. You about made me giggle. I heard you laughing. So here it is in a nutshell. If we want this Christmas to be different, if we want to move this Christmas to the next level, we must learn the secret to being content. Luke 12:15 tells us, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. I can't help but think how similar that one looks to my Walmart one. You know? I can't help but think that I look just as ugly as I look now standing next to that car, if not ugly. And I can't help but think I'm so old. I don't even know what the heck this thing is, but it looked trendy. Read this. Let's read it together. If you're not happy without something, you won't be happy with it either. You're not happy now. That's not going to make you happy. It's a simple message. I'm as hungry as the rest of you are. That's what you got to get. If you're not happy without something, you won't be happy with it either. Our goal was to set you thinking about this before you went to shopping. Some of you have already started Christmas shopping. My goodness, we'd have had to teach this message, Quinn, in July to cut some of these people off at the pass because I've already heard some of them's already Christmas shopping. But it's important that you know that we're giving you permission not to do that. There's one quote that really kind of just reminds us just in its simplicity. When Jesus came to us, He came in simplicity to a humble couple who had very little money. So the true meaning of Christmas has never been about stuff. It's always been about Him. I've been so caught up in Christmases in the past that He was like an afterthought. Anybody else done that? By the time you ran to point A to point B, from B to C, from C to D, this house, that house, it was almost a secondary thought that this was supposed to be about His birthday. I'm going to start a scripture reading here. And we may not get through it all, but I at least want us thinking about 1 Timothy. And let's read this together. Let's read together. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Yeah, right. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. It says at the bottom of 1 Timothy, command those, that's all of you, let's read it, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that many may take hold of the life that is truly life. Isn't that a beautiful reading? I'm glad we read that together. First thing I see in that is to grow in godliness, we must become content. Because verse 6 says, but godliness with content is great gain. I put this up there so that you could read this and see this. We should be content with our God-given circumstances, but never satisfied with our spiritual growth. Unfortunately, our tendency is to do just the opposite. Many of us are content with where we are spiritually and very discontent with our circumstance. How many of you know we don't get a ton of people coming to us saying, I'm not really comfortable where I'm at spiritually? Just telling you the truth. People praying for jobs, people praying for better bosses, some of us asking them to pray their boss dies, a lot of different things about our circumstances. Spouse gets better. Isn't that on everyone's Christmas list? Doesn't have anything to do with me. Get better. But we do. We seem to be content spiritually. And I want you to know that God's saying, you've got to be content spiritually. You got to be content physically to ever get content spiritually. Did you get that? I don't want to hear you talking about one of these days you're going to be content. You can't become and grow in godliness till you are content. And y'all know what godly is. Where's my buddy Rob Kelly at? He's hiding. How many of you know Rob Kelly? One of the most girly men I've ever met. Is he still hiding? Let's say it together. Rob Kelly is the most girly man we've ever met. Say it. Y'all laugh at that because you know Rob Kelly's not really girly. Isn't he like the opposite of girly? He's so ungirly that Julie says he's probably out back eating a turkey stick, drumstick. You know what it means to be girly? You know what it means to be godly? Godly just doesn't mean you quit sinning. It doesn't mean you just quit doing bad things. It means you start doing good things. You'll never have that godliness until you become content with what you have. Godliness with contentment is great, great gain, the Bible says. Let's do another one. Turn over the ownership of all you have to God. I've met people have a whole lot of money. They can't do this. So let's talk bad about the 1% for a few minutes. Let's just skip that because I don't see them here. Let's talk about the rest of us. It's just as hard to turn over $100 to God if you're in my shoes than it is to turn over $1 million if you're in Warren Buffett's shoes. Does that make sense to you? We have trouble saying that God owns everything we have. We have a real trouble with it. It doesn't matter where we are on the financial scale. It's just as hard for us to turn over that little bit we have as it is for those that have a lot to turn it over. Everything belongs to God. He lets us manage our money and steward our possessions for a brief time. Verse 7 says, for we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. If I was still Baptist, I'd tell you that I have never yet, to this day, ever seen a U-Haul following a hearse at a cemetery? Have you? We need to turn over all that we have and give it to God. Be thankful for the basics of life. How many of you had a little trouble reading this? We read it together in verse 8. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Can anybody honestly say that? Can anybody honestly say, no, I'm sure I can't say that? If we have food and clothing, we'll be content with that. We're not content with that. It's not enough for us. Some of us read this. You don't have to read it out loud, but read it to yourself so that it gets into your head before you go shopping. Some of us, or continue to shop, some of us need to have our needs reduced, not our possessions increased. Did you hear that? Some of us just need to have our needs reduced, not our possessions increased. Here's a practical suggestion. When contemplating the purchase of another possession, ask yourself, is this a need or a greed? How many of you want to do that? I'm like Debbie Downer up here. Harsh in your mellow. I get that. But is it a need or a greed? This is important for us to do. Young people, this is important for you to do. Because, listen, in today's culture, almost everything is presented to us as a need. Right? You need a cell phone. You got to have a cell phone. You need to have cable. You got to have cable. Right? Everybody knows. That's a need. You need to have cable. You need to have internet at home because your kids have school. Don't even get me started. You need to have that too. Take all those things that are now needs, that wasn't needs when I got married some 30 years ago. She was 12 and we were in Kentucky. It's legal.
No, we're not cousins.
I was going to say, that's because the thing with my cousin didn't work out. You add those up and put those in, take those out of your monthly bill. Do you realize how much extra you guys spend every month on stuff that we didn't even know existed 30 years ago? And they're presented to us as needs, not as wants. I want to have this. It's presented as a need. You need to have a cell phone. You need to have these things. You need to have the latest technology. Some of you are so discontent because you don't have the latest and greatest technology. Things that wasn't even around 30 years ago. This is a good one to end on. If you pursue riches, you'll have problems. Now, that's just for rich people, right? If you pursue riches, rich people, you will have problems. Charity says, no, that's not just for rich people. That's for all of us. Verse 9 says, people who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. Let me add, I've seen a few women take the plunge too. Amen? And then look at verse 10. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. I want you to know that I have, if not been there, I have at least cavorted with the rich and with the poor. And I got to tell you, I've known people that pursued money with a passion out of both sides. I've known people that were very successful pursuing money. And I've known people who were very unsuccessful pursuing money. And the one thing that they had in common, they pierced themselves with many griefs. We're not supposed to love money. We're not supposed to love getting more. And then finally, it tells us, if we do have more, if we do get more, that those of us who've been blessed have a greater responsibility to be generous Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds. See, it's just not enough for God for you to be rich. He says, congratulations, Bill Gates. Now, do some good deeds. Congratulations, where we are in the financial spectrum, Warren. Now do some good deeds. Be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of life that is truly life. Stephen and I talked Thursday about how life is so quick that we can't get that in our head. That, oh, it was a totally different context. We're talking about people with suffering with cancer or people that just bad things have happened to. But the point of this is simply this. The Bible says that your life here on earth is just a whiff, just a vapor, just a wisp of smoke, and then it's over. Well, we live like we're going to be here forever, don't we? And it's that quick, and it's going to be gone. Here's the bottom line. Whether your bottom line is a lot or a little, how many of you have a bottom line? You've got a bottom line. You may not like it, but you got one. Work at wanting what you have, even if you don't have everything you want. Let's say that together. Work at wanting what you have, even if you don't have everything you want. Let's say it differently. The key to contentment is not having everything you want, but wanting everything you already have. Can you imagine how content you'd be if you just wanted everything you had? Do you imagine how much more time you'd spend? We were talking about Jesus and all this Jesus stuff he did. What's your name? Jen. Brain fart. We were talking about Jesus, how much of this stuff he knew. Can you imagine how much time Jesus would have to think this stuff through because he doesn't think about the stuff I think? Have you ever thought about that? I spend so much time thinking about things I shouldn't be thinking. Some of you do too. Jesus had so much time to think these things through. But just think of how much better off we'd be if all that time and energy we put into thinking about, oh, if I had this, oh, if I had that, oh, if my job this, oh, if my job that, if we had contentment, knowing that not having everything you want brings us contentment, but wanting everything you have. Okay, final one, and then we're going to get ready to eat. How many of you have ever heard this? Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. How many of you heard that? Yeah, go to the funeral home. Somebody's patting somebody's hand. God says, he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Everybody heard that one? Raise your hand. Let me see your hands again. How many of you know the first part of that verse? Dropping like flies. I heard you laugh, Jen. Do you know the first part of it? I had to look it up too. Keep Hebrews 13, verse 5. Keep your lives free from the love of money. And be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And that sums it up. Whether you have a little, whether you have a lot, I will never leave you nor forsake you. To finish this out, next week we're going to have our shoebox. Robbie, hold up a shoebox, you girly man. Last year, we sent out 50 of these. This is for the Operation Christmas Child. We sent out 50. It's $7 to ship each of these plus the goodies that go in there. We are committed from TLR that part of our service next week will be a simple review of what we did today, followed by wrapping shoebox after shoebox of gifts. Does that sound good to everybody? Now, I want you to know, we'll do a little teaching. Then you'll have a station. You might be making a craft to put in there. You guys, we've got a list of stuff. We'll have stuff here for you to pack. We'll have boxes here for you to pack. Correct? Greg? Correct? Charmin? Correct, everybody? So as part of the service, we'll be, if we just pack what TLR buys, that'll be 50 boxes. That's not a lot that's not nothing to sneeze at. 50 boxes looks at about $1,000. Did everybody hear that? So TLR is going to do $1,000 worth of boxes. TLR did $1,000 worth of boxes last year. So if any one of you want to up the game a little, if any one of you want to go up to that next level, then we're going to have to pony up between now and then. And I just urge you to give that some thought. We'll send out our 50. We'll have a good time. But if we're going to move it to the next level, it's going to require you bringing a box full of goodies. If you have any questions about that, see myself, Charmin, or Greg. I'm not going to say anything else about that. No giving cards, no pressure, just this. We'll send out 50 boxes like we did last year, unless some of you are ready to take things to the next level. And if that's the case, we'll certainly point you in that right direction. But I don't have $20. Go find somebody that is going to get you a $20 trinket and say, have I got a deal for you? What was somebody going to get you for 20 bucks you really wanted? I can remember I was like 18 years old. Go to visit my grandma. She bought me like an action figure. I still have it though. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just pray that you would give us the strength to take things to the next level. That, Father, we wouldn't let a devil scare us off of that next level, whatever it happens to be. We pray that we raise our level up in faith. We pray that we raise our faith, our level up in not only faith, but in obedience to the Scriptures. We pray that we just will not settle and be content with being right where you found us when you saved us. So, Father God, we just pray that you help us go to that next level, whatever that level may be. It's going to be different for every person in this room. But we pray you take us to the next level in our thanksgiving. That we just be thankful for what we have and not be thankful looking ahead to what we're going to get. We just pray that we will have a great November full of thanksgiving from the beginning to the end. That we have a December that we look forward in hope and expectation of the advent, the coming of Jesus. Father, we just pray that it's not going to change the world, but it might change our little corner here of the world if each one in this room purposes that this Christmas is going to be about you and not about stuff. Now, Father, as we head over into our banquet today, Lord, we just pray that everyone will eat till they have their fill, that you'll bless the food to the nourishment of our body. Just pray a special blessing on those who've helped put this thing on. And just pray for Joey and Champ and those fellows that were lifting while I was pointing. And for Julie and Edgecombe for all that she's done and others that have pitched in. Lord, we just pray that your hand of blessing will be on this meal that we're about to partake. In your holy name we pray. Amen.